Oh, man, it is good to be here with you this morning. It's always a privilege to come back to Chico. Actually, my wife and I and my daughter Grace have been back in Chico for about 6 weeks now. And we came back from Nairobi, Kenya. We've been, as Pastor Bud said, I've been teaching at a Bible college over there, teaching pastors the Word of God. I mean, just straight up, real simple, verse by verse. I teach mostly the New Testament, Acts through Revelation, and do some inductive Bible study. That's like how to study the Bible, that kind of training. So it has been an awesome adventure, and many of you have partnered with us in that adventure through your prayers, through your financial support, and I want to say thank you. Thank you. May the Lord bless you, because we cannot do what we do there apart from the body here supporting us. So the Lord bless you. And I know others support other missionaries. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. And I know they are equally blessed. So my family has just really received a lot of love from this church. You guys have so blown us away with how you've just cared for us as we come off the mission field. My wife's got some health issues. She's doing better, praise the Lord. You know, just love, man. That's what we've been feeling. So thank you for that. And prayer especially is so important, because when I first showed up to Kenya, I was 24 years old, and I arrived at the house of George Maguro. He's a pastor there. He's like my partner in ministry, and he helps run the Bible college. And he goes, "Jacob, I'm going to teach you how to drive in Kenya." And I'm like, "All right, let the adventure begin." And he takes me out to his little car, and it is a 1976 Subaru. Yeah, the Sub. It's nice. And it had spent 30 years in Kenya, and it looked like it. The roads over there are like lunar surface, some of them. They've gotten better, but boy. So he goes, let's do it. And you're driving on the other side of the road, so that's a little bit disorienting. And you're on the other side of the car, so it's kind of like, whoa, wow, everything's shifted around. And so he hands me the keys, and I go to fire it up, and it's like nothing. And he goes, "Oh, hold on. Pop the hood for me." Throws me a pair of pliers, and I'm like, "What?" I'm like trying to pop the hood, and he grabs this big block of wood, and he walks around to the front of the car, opens up the hood, and just like, bam, 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 you know, "Try it now." Fires right up. He's like, "Good, okay, and if that ever happens again, you know, where the car stalls out, just grab that block of wood." And it actually happened to me one time. The car stalled out, and it was like major busy roundabout, and I have to get out of the car. I'm like smacking the stake, and it fired up, and oh, thank you, Lord. So, and you didn't know this, but you know that year of the 1976 Subaru, they had manual windshield wipers. Yeah, you didn't know that. So in monsoon season, I'm driving in on these roads that are like as narrow as one of our lanes, and I'm like manually windshield wiping. So, but by the grace of God, I stand here before you this morning. Man, what the adventures the Lord takes us through. And so we need your prayers over there. Because it's different, man. It's dangerous. And but God is faithful. Amen. He's so faithful. So thank you so much for your prayers, for your support. I want this morning, it's going to be kind of a little different. We're going to get into the Word, and I'm going to share a little bit with you about missions and stuff. But let's open up our Bibles to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and we're going to start in verse 18. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. I love to hear the sound of Bible pages flipping. It's like music to my ears. All right. We'll start there in verse 18. And I'm going to kind of recap, review what Pastor Sam shared last week and kind of develop what he said a little bit more. But Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus is speaking to his disciples just before he's getting ready to depart from the world, from planet Earth. And he says to them, here, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "teaching them to observe," or to obey, "all that I have commanded you to do, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. Amen. So, Pastor Sam shared a little bit about this, and basically, he kind of broke it down to these three things that we are involved with the Great Commission. He says, number one, we win the lost. Number two, we disciple the saved. Number three, we send out equipped workers. We win the lost. What are you talking about, winning the lost? Well, basically, that means preaching the gospel. That is the message that the church has for the world. That is what we have to offer. That is the main thing. We preach the gospel, that Jesus Christ came into this world as a baby, grew up as a man, and he lived to die for you and for me. He died for my sin, the wrong things that I have done. Jesus Christ took the punishment for that upon the cross. He died, and he rose again the third day. That is our message. That is the gospel. It is so simple and yet so powerful. That is the only message that can take a spiritually dead person and give them life. It is the only message that can give eternal life. It is the only way that we can be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's what Jesus said. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me." That's what Jesus said, John 14, 6. The gospel, that's the only message that saves. So that's why we put great emphasis on that. That's what we have to offer. Now, the second part of this, Jesus says, go and baptize them. That involves bringing people into the kingdom, baptizing. Number two, verse 20. Teaching them to observe or to obey all that I've commanded. So that teaching aspect, that is the discipleship. Discipling the saved. Helping new Christians become followers of Jesus. That's all a disciple is, by the way. It's just one who follows Jesus. And so as we get into his word, we learn of him. We become followers. And so part of Pastor Sam's job, part of my job and the teachers who teach here, is equipping the saints. You guys, those of you who have trusted in the Lord, equipping you for the work of ministry, discipleship, and then sending you out. Now, it's awesome because as I've been sharing, people have been coming up to me and just saying, "Yeah, you know, you've been talking about reaching out this way and that way. And man, the Lord's already put us in a place that we can do that." And so it's really neat. I know many of you are already involved with this being sent out and, preaching the gospel to others, making disciples of others. And here's the thing, winning the lost, discipling the saved, and sending out equipped workers. This great commission, that's what it's called, a great commission, it's for all of us. It's for every believer, all of us are being sent by Jesus into this world. Now, God may send you into a foreign mission field. He may do it. He may send you to Africa. Now, I know a lot of you are going, please don't send me to Africa. Please don't send me to Africa. You know, but hey, the safest and best place to be is right where God is sending you, right where God is calling you. So don't worry if he does. It'll be an adventure. But wherever the Lord sends you, you know, I'm convinced that there are those here this morning that the Lord is sending out to a foreign mission field. Be open to it. I was at the missions conference, as Pastor Bud said, this past week, and it was so refreshing. I wish all of us could have attended it because it was just so great. And I was talking with some people, and there's a couple that I know. They're in their mid-60s, something like that. And the wife has been a school teacher. She retired, and the Lord moved in their heart to go plant a church in Japan. They're 65 or something. They're selling everything, moving to Japan, and learning the language and going to be a part of a church plant. I'm like, yes, praise the Lord, you know. God uses unlikely people. And, you know, a lot of us in America, you know, we think it's like, hey, no, that's time to retire, kick back, you know, get the RV and cruise and stuff. And I get that, but God has more for us. He has more for us. And, you know, it reminds me of Caleb. Caleb's 85, and he goes to Joshua, and he says, give me that mountain. I want that mountain with the giants on it. I want to go get that mountain. The Lord has said that we can get it. I want to go get it. 85 years old, still fighting. Hey, let's do it, man. Let's keep on going. Let's not shift it into neutral, you know. God has more for you, even if, you know, you think, well, no, I'm not in the position to do that. Hey, maybe you're just a person. Maybe you're just a person. Well, maybe you're not necessarily called to the foreign mission field, but you certainly are called, maybe not to go across the world, but what about across the street? What about across the street? This great commission is for wherever we are. You are the man. You are the woman. I am the man that God has chosen to be in this community. It is no accident that you live in Chico. It is no accident that you have the job that you have. It is no accident that you go to the school that you go to and the people that are around you. God has placed you there. He's given you access and doors that I can't get into. You know, you're reaching people that I can't reach. Know that the Lord has a calling on your life. He's sending you out. You are a link from one generation to the next generation. You know, I received the gospel from my dad. He told me the gospel when I was a young boy, and I received the Lord as a young boy. And now I am giving that gospel out to the next generation, you see. And if you are a believer, you receive the gospel from somebody, and you now are a link to another person. Not only that, not only are you a link between generations, you're a link between heaven and earth. God has given you the message of the gospel. This message that is so powerful. As I shared in the beginning of my message, man, he's given it to you. And so, we are that link. You are the man. You are the woman. And this message, it's for the whole world. It's for every Christian. Now, that's kind of a review of what Pastor Sam had spoken to us last Sunday. And at this point, I wanted to kind of get you up to date on some of the missionaries that this church is involved with. And this is just like a fraction. I do not have time to go through all that we're supporting and involved with. These are kind of like some of the highlights. So I wanted to share that with you. So if you just want to open up that slideshow, perfect. Got it. Some of the international missionaries, of course, myself, my family. You can go to the next slide. Isn't my daughter cute? I'm sorry. She's just cute. I love her so much. I was watching her last night just sleep, and I was like, oh, so precious. And that's the only time she will hold still. She has so, got so much energy. So, and my wife, Noelle, of course. And so I've already kind of talked about our ministry. The next slide, Michael and Heather Van Buskirk, they're in Pretoria, South Africa, or Mamelodi, the specific town that they're ministering in. Heather was a part of the fellowship. Well, I think both Michael and Heather were, but Heather's mom, Marcia, works in the children's ministry here, and the Lord has sent them out to South Africa. They are involved with community development. They're teaching kids, doing some like tutoring and things like that. They're also helping out in the HIV education, HIV education and AIDS. I've heard statistics, and it just blows my mind, but it's like 1 in 3 people have AIDS. I mean, that's just crazy. And so they're trying to help and bring education and understanding. And so ministering in a very practical way down there in South Africa. So be praying for them. South Africa is a dangerous place, and you can read their update. It's out by the tape booth, or, well, no. Yeah, I should say, does tape booth make me sound old? If I say tapes, like, what, with the tape? MP3 booth, okay? You go down a little bit on the counter, and you'll see their update there. So you can kind of know how to pray for them. The next slide is the Holiday family. Tony and his family are there. He's got some precious daughters, too. Just so sweet. And Tony, as some of you know, is Pastor Sam's little brother. And Tony planted a church in Morro Bay, Central Coast. And a few years ago, passed the church off, and the Lord called him, sent him to the United Kingdom, to London. It's a huge city. I've been there a few times. It literally has a dark cloud over it. Every time I'm in London, it's like dark, kind of dreary. And I mean, like, I think 3 days a year they have some sunshine over there. I enjoy it over there, but it's dark. It's dark spiritually. There's a lot of people who don't know the Lord. They say that the UK is a post-Christian country. In other words, the gospel has come and kind of passed. And a lot of people there are hardened to the gospel, but they've got their missionary card. Check it out. It's pretty cool. His mission, to preach, to see all of London transformed with the love of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, to teach that these believers would be taught, fed, and equipped with the perfect, living, and complete Word of God, and to reach, to see those disciples fully deployed in their callings, relying on God's Spirit to accomplish through them what they cannot do otherwise. Really awesome. Similar to what I just shared, preach, teach, and reach. So, how to pray for them, check it out on the back of the card. Next slide, Summer Root in Uganda, Karamoja. Be praying for her. She is involved with a church plant up there in the northern eastern part of Uganda. Now, Tony, he's in a post-Christian place, planting a church. Summer is in a pre-Christian place, planting a church. They've never known the name of Jesus there in Uganda. And I'll tell you what, Satan does not want to see a light in the darkness. And he's doing everything he can to stomp that light out. Summer has encountered some major trials. She's had malaria like 5 times, and she almost died. And be praying for her. We need to lift her up. Marvin and Sherry Root, they attend this church. Sweet couple. And boy, we just want to be lifting that work up. And what I'd like to do is to start like a missions fellowship here at the church, where I'm just like running through what these missionaries are involved with. And what I'd like to do is gather together as a group, learn a little bit more about these people, what they're involved with, how we can pray, and pray. Pray. Seek God to work. I was reading Colossians this morning, chapter 4. Paul says, pray that a door might be opened that we could preach the gospel. So, let's do the same. We can have those long-range prayers that are targeting specific areas, and we know the Lord will work. So, keep that in mind. More to come on that in weeks to come. But just be praying about that, thinking about that, maybe doing it like once a month, something along those lines. But anyway, Sam will talk more about that. Last slide for the international work. Chad Ratzlaff, it's so neat what he's involved with Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. I know many of you have gotten the boxes and sent them off, and Chad was telling me that just thousands of kids have given their life to the Lord through that ministry, and just a practical way to demonstrate God's love. So, in fact, right now, there's a group down in Juarez from this church. There's like eight of them. Justin and Lisa Morris, I believe, are leading that group, and they are distributing these boxes with a ministry called Amigo Fiel. So I'd like to just pause and pray for them right now, in fact, because they need our prayers. Juarez is not like your vacation destination, you know. It's like, it's kind of dangerous. And so let's just pray. Father, we ask that right now you would just empower and fill with the Spirit those that are down there in Juarez. We ask that you would open up doors, Lord, to share the gospel, to open eyes to see who you are and what you've done. We pray, Lord, that you would keep them safe, watch over them, as it's a dangerous place. We pray you'd bring them home safely and speak to those that are on that trip personally and powerfully. So, Lord, we just pray, advance your kingdom, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, before I move on to the rest of my message, I did want to highlight a little bit about what's going on locally. Our outreach locally. And again, there's like, I couldn't have enough time to go through everything that we're involved with, but I'm just kind of making you aware of some of the things that are going on. So our local outreach, one thing, you know, how can you be involved with the Great Commission? Well, right here, I love my neighbor. How about that? We're going to be talking about the Great Commandment today. Loving your neighbor practically, and some of you men are involved with Bob Hayes, and they are moving single moms and people who can't move their furniture and stuff like that. They go and they help out with those people. It's just a great way to show the love of Christ. Project Save, Janice Walker is involved with loading up shipping containers full of medical supplies, and those containers go out over all the world. In fact, we loaded one up and sent it to Kenya. Some of you helped with that financially. Some of you helped load that thing up. And I packed it up here in the United States and unloaded it in Kenya. And so really neat things going on there. Meals of Love, Pastor Bud mentioned that. Jesus Center. Children's Ministry. Wait, what do you mean? Yeah, Children's Ministry. It's like outreach. It really is. Five kids came to the Lord last week in children's ministry on a Wednesday night. Five kids come to the Lord. That's awesome. So the Lord could use you right here in these walls to share the Lord, share the love of Christ with children. Pray about it. Think about it. I'm involved with the children's ministry here, and it's so much fun. So, yeah, check that flyer out in your handout. And pray. Maybe the Lord would have you be involved with that. Lastly, this is something we want to get involved with. It's an outreach to international students at Chico State Butte College. Basically, our vision is to get connected with these international students. There's over 100 nations represented at Chico State. Different people from different countries. What an opportunity. If we can hook up with them, show them the love of Christ, build relationships with them, and see them come to the Lord and then go back out to their home country. What an awesome thing. How cool would that be? So we're just praying at this point for the Lord to open up some doors with that. So maybe the Lord would use you in that realm. We're thinking maybe like opening up our homes to do meals with some of the international students, building some relationships with them, building bridges. Well, we'll just see what God will do. But that's some of the things going on in the church. Again, I know there's a ton more and that I could share about, but I just wanted to highlight some of these things and try to get us all thinking about outreach and engaged with it. Well, back to our text, Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 20. I want to focus in on this a little bit, develop it. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, I want you to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, question. What is it that Jesus commanded the apostles to do? What is it that, what is Jesus referring to here? Or how could we sum it up all together? What did Jesus command them to do? Well, turn over with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Considering this, what Jesus has commanded them to do. Matthew 22, just a few pages to the left, and we'll begin in verse 34. When the Pharisees heard, Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. So, what did Jesus command them to do? Or how could we sum it all up, what Jesus had commanded the apostles to do? Four words, nice and simple, easy to remember. Love God and love people. That sums it all up, and I like it. God keeps it simple for us. If we wanted to even get it more compact, it's just love. Just one word, love. Love God and love others. And, you know, the apostles gave us a great example of this. A great example is their lives as recorded in the book of Acts. If you read through the book of Acts, you actually won't find the word love written down one time, which I think is kind of funny. I did a word search, and it's like, love does not show up in this book. At least the word doesn't. But what I realized is, while the word isn't there, its demonstration, the demonstration of love, is all throughout the book. That's what these guys were doing, these apostles. They were going out into their communities. Why were they doing that? Why were they reaching out? Why were they sharing the gospel? Because God's love had so transformed their lives that it was overflowing out of them. It was an overflow. God had poured into them His love, and then what came out was love. What was overflowing was love. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said, the love of Christ compels me, or constrains me, or controls me. It's like the love of God is what's pushing me to do what I do. It's what's empowering me, the love of God. So, let's take another look at this commandment. Love God, love people. Two parts to it. How much should I love God? How much should I love God? Well, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other words, God wants your whole being. He wants every single part of you. He wants your mind. He wants your body. He wants your soul. He wants the whole package. He died for the whole part of you to get everything, that you would be totally and completely satisfied and in love with him above all things. That's what God desires. That's what God desires. Now, maybe a few of you are thinking, well, okay, why should I love God? An honest question. Why should I love God? Well, it's because of what God has done for you, you see. Why should I love God? Because God has loved you with an everlasting love. You should love God because God so loved you that he gave his only son, that if you would believe in him, you might not perish but have eternal life. God gave his son for you. God gave his son for you, for your sin. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Romans 5:8 says this, God demonstrates his love for you in that while you were yet a sinner, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Now, you saw a picture of my daughter. I love her. She's so cute, okay? And you all are nice people. You're lovely people, okay? Most of you look pretty nice. You know, it's not like the early service. You know, you put yourself together, combed your hair. You all smell like okay. You know, most of you smell okay. And you know, so you're all nice. It's all good. I'm like, high five, shake your hand, good. But here's the deal. If it's a decision between my daughter and you, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm taking my daughter every time. You know, if there was a situation where it's like, you got to make a decision between this person and your daughter, forget about it. I'm sorry. Decision's already made. I love my daughter. I'd give my life for her. And you who have children understand what I'm saying. But here's the deal. God love, it's different. It's different than the love that I have because God did give his son for you. And not when I deserved it or when you deserved it, but the Bible says when we were ungodly, when we were sinners, when we were enemies with God, that's when Christ died for us. That's when God gave his son for us. Guys, this is a deep kind of love here that we're talking about. This is deep, deep love that God has for you. So why should you love God, man? Because of what God has done for you. And maybe another question you might be thinking about is, well, okay, I've experienced that. You know, I'm saved. I've experienced it. I've experienced the love of God, the forgiveness of God. Well, how do I love God more? I do. I want to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I want to love God more. Where does this love come from? Is it something that I, you know, try to stir up in myself? Well, in reality, the more you know God, the more you receive the love of God, the more you'll love him. You see, if I want to love God more, I need to know him more. To know God is to love God. God is love. So if I want to love God more, I need to get to know him more. I need to receive more of his love on a daily basis. Paul prayed for the Ephesians church. He said, I pray that you would know and grasp the love of God that surpasses understanding. Why did he pray that? Because he knew if people are experiencing the love of God, there is going to be fruit in their life. They are going to be loving God, and it's going to overflow on to others. Man, here's something we need to grip onto this morning. We are responders to God, primarily. We respond to God. We are not the initiators in the relationship. We are the responders. It's not like, okay, God, if I do this, then you'll do that. Not primarily, no. It is God saying, this is what I've done. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to work in you and through you, and we respond to it, you see. The love of God. Now, that's why we should love God. That's where the love of God comes from. Now, the second part in this commandment, Matthew 22, Jesus says there's also a second commandment. At verse 39, and a second is like it. Now, it's kind of interesting. Jesus, wait, I thought there was only one commandment. But as far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, these two commandments are, they go hand in hand. To love God and to love others, it's like one to God. We can't love God and then hate our brother. 1 John 4:20 says that. So loving others, it's just like right together with loving God. So Jesus says, a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, loving my neighbor as myself. That sounds good. I think I could try to do that. But Jesus develops this a little bit more in John 13. And he takes it to a level that, let's take a look. He develops this a little bit more. John 13, 34. I'll read it for you. You can turn there if you like. You don't have to. But John 13, 34 says this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also love one another. Now, what had Jesus just got done doing in that passage? Does anybody know? Anybody know? Huh? Did somebody say it? Yes, thank you. Extra coffee and donuts for you. Very good. Washing the disciples' feet. And who was in that group? Judas Iscariot, Jesus' betrayer, the guy who was just about ready to leave the room and put a knife in Jesus' back. And he washed his feet. Now, I don't know about you, but when somebody crosses me like that, hey, I'm thinking of ways to get back at them. Anybody else feel that way sometimes? Thank you. Some honest people here in the front row. You back there, thank you. The rest of you, holy, righteous people. Hey, we all know what I'm talking about, right? Man, when somebody crosses me, when somebody tries to manipulate me, I'm ready to fight, but Jesus is ready to wash feet. That is the kind of love we're talking about here. He says, just as I have loved you. This is self-sacrificing. This is foot washing. This is cross-bearing kind of love. And it's God love. He's not calling us to love people because they're nice or because they treat us nice. Because that's not the way God loved me. He didn't love me while I was in church. He loved me while I was out there being an idiot. Okay? God, His love is so much greater than ours. So, loving others this way, it's not natural. It's supernatural. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, Jesus should have just said, I command you to go walk on water. Because that actually helps me understand that this kind of love is so far above me and so beyond my natural that it's like, here, go walk on water. Go to the pool. Anybody tried it lately? It's kind of hard, okay? Kind of something you need God to do, you know? Hey, if this is going to work, Lord, I need you to do it. Hey, it's no different here. It's no different here. What God is calling us to is not like kind of our idea of love, but His love for others. You go, wow, that's hard. It's not hard. It's impossible. What He's calling us to here is not possible in our own strength. And that's why we need to go to Him. That's why we need to thirst and hunger for Him. That's why we need to receive His love. Because we realize God is not calling us to run with the footmen, so to speak. He's not calling us to run alongside, you know, in our natural abilities. He's calling us to run with horses. You get it? You follow me? He's not calling us to kind of do what we can do in our natural. He's calling us to a supernatural kind of life. And it's a life that is only possible as I am receiving the love of God daily, as I am experiencing who God is. The beautiful thing is, when God commands you to do something, He always, always, always gives you the power to do it. That's called grace. He always gives you the power to do it. And as I receive the love of God, there's going to be fruit born in my life. It's going to be fruit developed in my life. This was a big theme at the conference that I went to. Receiving God's love, experiencing who He is. Now, as we kind of wrap things up here, what is the motivation now for this Great Commission? What's the motivation to go out, to reach out? What's the reason I share the gospel? Well, it's because of God's love. That's what the apostles did. That's why they did it, because of God's love. And it's the same for us. It's not my great love, because if I'm honest, it's not there. It's God's great love. In Him kind of working in me and working through me. The work of the Great Commission, it's God's work. He's the one who came after me. He's the one who sent His Son to die for you and me, you see. He's the one who started it. He's the one who will complete it. He's the one who sustains it. We just get to be involved with what He's already doing. And that involves getting into the flow of God's eternal purpose, receiving His love. He wants to use you in His plan. And God is sending you out. He's sending us out into the world, some of us, but for sure all of us, into our community to be an expression of His love, just as the early church. Let's stand up this morning. Can we all stand? I know you're all comfortable and all, but let's stand up. So, don't lose me here. Hang on. It's okay. It's all good. All right. We this morning, we need to receive the love of God. That's what we need. You need to remember once again how much God has loved you, how He loves you perfectly, passionately, eternally. God loves you. Many of you, I pray most of you, have experienced that love, but He wants to have you experience it again today. As you remember all that the Lord has done for you. Some of you this morning are thinking, you know, man, reaching out, it's like, no, I'm so broken right now. I'm a bruised reed. I'm a smoking flax. Hey, God wants to pour His love over you. He's not here to crush you, to break you, you know, in that sense of that bruised reed. No, He's there to bandage you up. He's not here to stamp out the flax or that smoking fire. He's there to breathe life into it. He wants to pour His love upon you. And in time, as you receive that love, you will overflow. I pray that that happens with all of us. That's God's desire. So let's pray. Father, I ask that this morning, in a fresh and new way, we would experience Your love. Lord, it's not my words that can do anything. My words have no power. But Lord, we just call upon Your name and ask, would You work in us? Would You reveal to us again how much You've loved us? Would you overflow our lives with that love? Would you send us out, Lord, wherever you'd want us to go? May your perfect love be just received and completed in us. Lord, just bless this group. And this morning, if you have never received the love of God, you've never received forgiveness for your sins, I want to give you an opportunity to do that now. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to do what you were created to do, worship God, love God, it's real simple. You just confess that, yes, you are a sinner, and you believe that Jesus died for you and that he rose again, and you will have eternal life. Anyone here this morning, just simply raise your hand. Simply raise your hand and say, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to experience that love. Anyone here this morning wants to do that? Anyone here this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you want to do through us. You're so good to us. May you be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Let's